Do not be slothful in zeal, but be burning in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12:11. For which cause I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. 2 Timothy 1, 6-7. This week, we conclude the series titled Burning in Spirit, Serving the Lord, with speaking from Brother Minoru Chin on various aspects of the working saint's responsibility in the church life. This meeting was held during the 2014 International Thanksgiving Day Conference in San Antonio, Texas. A link to the full audio can be found in the episode notes.
There are many families, let's say, they lost the parents, and it's just a brood of kids. And you know, the older brothers and sisters have to almost assume the role of parents. You understand? They have no choice in that case. And that role that they have to step into causes them to mature and grow a lot quicker and faster. Because of what? It's something called responsibility. It's something called an obligation. And I can testify my life. It's the responsibility, the burden that I pick up, obligation that I shoulder, and picking up more and more, that caused me to grow, that caused me to experience Christ, that caused me to know how to serve the Lord, to cause me to have all these things. Without a burden, without a duty, without a responsibility, without an obligation, what are we doing? Why do we have to contact the Lord? You know what I mean? Why do we have to have companions? Why do we have to do these things? There is something that the Lord expects of all of us, that He expects of you. And I like to see you all grow up in a hurry. I like to see you all grow up quickly. You know, Witness Lee once said that when he touched the recovery, he flew, F-L-E-W. That means he flew like a bird. In other words, the speed with which he grew and the which he pursued, the speed with which he advanced in the Lord, the speed with which he come into the work of the Lord, the speed with which he just grew was just like flying, not crawling. And I have this thought recently that we are not even here talking about survival. You know what I'm saying? How do I survive the Christian life? How do I barely make it? Brothers and sisters, we're not here to survive. We're here to bring in a revival. Amen. Not survival, but revival. Amen. And you have to bring it in. There is a final revival that our brother was so burdened for the few years of life that he had left back in the 90s, just as he entered into the high peak of the divine revelation in those few years, something was in him longing. Aspiring for a certain revival that will come to the Lord's recovery. And he called it a new revival. He called it the greatest revival. He called it the final revival before the Lord comes back. He called it by all those terms, and some of you know what I'm talking about. And he said, we have to pray for it. A revival even like the likes of which that the church have never seen. Brothers, the great days, the glorious days is not behind us, but ahead of us. I know, you know, I'm writing history on Eldon Hall, you know, Eldon Hall, woo, you know. You know, every term, because I used to take these trainees out on a Eldon Hall tour, you know, I rented these huge big Greyhound, well, nicer than Greyhound, these luxury buses. I pile 100 of them into 2 of them, and away we went to Eldon Hall. And we went there, and I showed them, this is Eldon Hall, that's the street Brother Lee lived in, this is the street who lived in, that's the house, this has happened, this, and then another. They will ooh and ah and all of this. Wish I was there. You know, that's the feeling. Well, I will tell you, there's something to be said about those days, and in eternity, I will still thank the Lord that I was a part of that. Brother Lee said, he said, even in eternity, I will not forget Eldon. Brother Lee said that. It was so special, it was so particular, it was so glorious, it was so pivotal in God's move in the history of the Lord's recovery. And to my personal feeling, this is one man's opinion, that time, that those years were indeed years of a classic revival, a revival that ranks with the greatest revivals, even the history of the church with a big C. This is my feeling. It is that crucial, that important a time. And I was there. But when Brother Lee was going to die, he was hoping for a greater one, a final one, that a one that will even usher the Lord to come back. Now, these are great words, okay? These are big talks. But that's what he said. That's what he said. And I happen to believe it. I happen to believe it. And so here we are, the older ones. I'm one of them. I'm not the oldest, by the way. There's many more brothers more older than I am physically. But I'm still kind of that group, right? Year after year, year after year, when I first came to the Lord's recovery in those Eldon years, we genuinely thought that ours were the last generation. We believed it, and we expected not to die, that we will see the Lord comes with our physical eyes. We were the generation when Israel was reformed in 1948. We were the generation, talking about the 60s, when Jerusalem was returned after the Six-Day War. You know that. We were just hoping, we believe that soon enough, the temple will be built. And that will set the stage for what? For the last of the times. Well, we have not seen it yet. And meanwhile, we're getting older. What are we to do? What are we to do? Storms came to the recovery. Storms went. Many of our generation and those after us, immediately after us, were swept away. And for the longest time in this country, it seems the recovery was in a dormant situation. Even Brother Lee used that word, in a dormant condition. But in these years, when I say these years, I mean in these 10, 20 years, maybe we can put it at the, roughly the time when Brother Lee began the full-time training back in the late 80s. The first class, the second class, and so on and so forth. Even though we had still a couple of storms in this country, one in this country, one outside of this country, but by and large, the Lord was doing something again by raising up a new generation. And the first of them, I told you, you know, those saints who were in the first full-time training, you know, the first full-time training is not Anaheim, it's Taipei. And then briefly it was in Irving. Then in 1989, it started in Anaheim. Those first ones who are in these full-time training in Taipei, today, let me tell you, they are really 50 years old and more. And those he started in the 1989, those are people in their mid-40s today. All right. And, of course, hundreds, if not thousands, have gone through that training. And many more, brothers and sisters, never went to the full-time training. And by the way, let me do a sidebar here. Anyone who have not been to the full-time training, you must not have the idea that you're a loser, you missed the boat, you are no good. That's not true. That's not true. Now, if the Lord would lead you one day to go to the middle age full-time training, go. You know, I would be the first to. I won't pay for your time, but I would encourage you to go, because I know what that is doing to so many middle-aged ones. It is giving them a fresh new lease in their spiritual service. It is just marvelous. Actually, today, we should not just have a team of have a meeting with you. We should have a meeting just for those who are 50 and above, and you are excluded. I will tell you, that is another army. And that army's usefulness is no less than yours, except in a different way. But anyway, my point is what? My point is the Lord has blessed his recovery with generation after generation, with a relatively peaceful period of time in the Lord's recovery in this country, namely in the last couple of decades plus. And here you are. So everywhere I go, we are seeing saints like yourself. And to me, that is like the Lord's blessing, his recovery, with human assets like you. But what is this for? What is this for? This is not just for you. This is for that revival. This is for the Lord's coming back. This is for the building up of his body in the last of these days. And so, no, I'm here rambling a little bit. I don't have a particular burden. I have a lot of things I was thinking about to say. But I'm just going to just open my heart in this very simple way. It's your turn. The time is now. You, by age, and I'm going to use few things to prove it. What time is it? I better stop. Huh? 4:55. Oh, okay. I have 5 minutes, right? Okay. According to the Old Testament age in Numbers, the age 25 to 50 are those who are apprenticing and those who are officially in the job of the priesthood and the Levites. The two groups of people in the Old Testament that are commissioned, given the job to what? To take care of the tabernacle, which is the Lord's testimony. We call it Christ and the church. We call it the church life today. In the New Testament, the three groups of men that of people that the Apostle John talked to. One is the little children. The second is the young man. And the third one are the fathers. Clearly, we're here talking about the second group when we're talking to you in this way. And the apostles spend the most amount of time talking to this group, charging them not to love the world, telling them they have overcome the evil one, saying that the word of God abides in them, telling them to reject the love of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, but to practice the will of God. This is the group that is bearing the main burden. And today, in the Lord's recovery everywhere, you are that group. You are that group. You must rise up. You must rise up. Brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, full-timer, job-dropping, or money-making, whatever it may be, you rise up. It's time for you to rise up, to bear the burden of the church life, to bear the burden of the church life in every respect. The meetings, the services, in the homes, in the gospel, in shepherding, in so many areas of the church life, you have to rise up and bear it. It's time. Amen?
Amen.
It seems I'm a very demanding kind of no supply, just demand person. Some people sometimes comment to me in that way. I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe I am. I don't know. But to be true to my inner burden, I have to speak this way. Okay, talk about burning. I'm going to end here, right? I'm going to tell you three places. Number one, and that's what Brother Steve quoted, Romans chapter 12. Do not be slothful. Do not be slothful, but be burning in spirit, serving the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, just don't be slothful. Slothful means lazy when it comes to the things of the Lord. You know, these startups and all these people in San Francisco, in Austin, wherever they are, I mean, they are burning 80-hour weeks, all right? Just to get this going, hopefully to go into IPO and become Mark Zuckerberg number two. All right? Talk about dreams. 80-hour weeks. They don't sleep. They don't do anything. They just drink Mountain Dew, remember, right? They're not slothful. And brothers and sisters, for the Lord's need, do not be slothful. Don't be lazy. But be burning in the Spirit, hot in the Spirit, serving the Lord as a bondslave. I tell you, if today this generation of brothers and sisters will live like that, my goodness, I feel the future of the recovery is indeed glorious. And a revival awaits. The second one is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul charged Timothy and said what? He said, what is it? Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you, that is there by the laying of my hands. And God has not given you the spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of what? Of love, power of love and of sober-mindedness. And there, Paul is telling this young Timothy, if you're not burning, go fan yourself. Fan yourself into flame. There is a spark there. There is a fire there. Fan it. Fan it. Fan it until it is burning. Fan it until it's hot. And that fire has to do with your gift. That God has a gift for each one of us. And that gift has been given to us in grace. And today our job is to fan it. You said, I don't know what that gift is. You fan it. You just keep it burning. It will become manifested as to what it is. You don't need to worry about that. Your job is to exercise your spirit and fan it. Number three, the church in Laodicea. You are lukewarm. I wish you were cold, or the Greek word boiling, or boiling. He said, what, repent and do the first works. Be zealous. That word zealous there is also the same word as the word hot that means boiling. Be boiling. One day the Lord will come, and the church in Laodicea is the church that is post-Philadelphia. That means it is a church that has what? That has all the knowledge. They say we're rich. They say we are what? We're clothed. They say we can see, when in actuality they are naked, they are blind, and they are poor. And they are lukewarm. They're lukewarm. And so, my brothers and sisters, the Lord only say what? The Lord says what? Just be hot. Be hot. You just be hot. So I just say this few words to you with no supply. I don't know, in all these years in my service to the Lord, I don't know where the supply came from. Somehow it just came. It seems the more I serve, the more supply is there. Brothers and sisters, rise up. It's your turn. Don't look at yourself. Look at Jesus. And have a sense of the times. Of the times. It says the stork knows the time. The turtle dove knows the time. But my people, they don't know what my judgments are. That means they don't know their time. I hope all of you would have a sense of what time it is in the whole scheme of things. While you are doing many things that you have to do in life as a human, as a Christian, I hope you would all give yourself to pick up the burden of the Lord's recovery, the Lord's need, and put it on your shoulders in so many ways in the church life where you are. Amen. Will you do that?
Amen.
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 Oh Lord, I think I kill some people here. Sometimes even people close to me and say, don't be so bad. No, don't be so bad. They need more supply. Well, may the Lord supply you.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @LivingToHim.